As we come to the more solemn part of this service, let us attend to the further duty that is before us, and that is to give an indication from the Word of God of who they are, who have a right and a duty to come to the Lord's table on this occasion, and those who have no such right and indeed are warned against coming, lest they eat and drink judgment to themselves. The word is translated condemnation, but certainly in the usage of words today, it would be better understood as judgment. So, first of all, we will try to say something about those who are debarred from the Lord's table, on the evidence that we have in the Word of God. And there is that fundamental difference which should go through the through our thinking. The fundamental difference between those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and those who do not. But the question may be, do I really understand whether I am one of the Lord's children or not? Can I really be sure that I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ or not? So, we have to examine ourselves. And that's what is made plain in the directions that are given in 1 Corinthians for attendance on the Lord's Supper, that we are to examine ourselves. We are to ask, am I one of the Lord's children? Am I one of those who are who have the duty to come to the Lord's table? You see, people might be inclined just to say, almost, that the Lord's, that coming to the Lord's table is a voluntary thing. It's something extra. Something that, if we go, we may go. If we feel we should go, then we will go. But if we don't, if we're not really sure about it, it doesn't matter very much. Well, you see, have we any right? What right do we have to stay away from the Lord's table? And you might say, well, I'm not one of God's children. I haven't believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I can feel quite easy about going to the Lord's table. Well, there's implications there. Is it not something extremely serious to be feeling obliged to tell yourself that you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? That you haven't, that you are not fleeing from the wrath to come. Our not going to the Lord's table says there's something wrong here. It might be worse for people to go to stay away from the Lord. It might be worse for some people to go to the Lord's table than not to go. Of course, if they are not converted, they shouldn't go. But to make that statement, and there is something of making that statement when people do not go to the Lord's table. It's a statement, in effect, I am not converted. I am still rejecting Christ. I am still on my way to a lost eternity. It needs far more of people's attention than very possibly they give it. You see, I'm not saying that there are not difficulties in various people's way, and perhaps even that in some circumstances there are insuperable difficulties in their way. But these are things to be taken before the Lord. I mean that there are things from the past that may stand in the way of even a child of God going to the Lord's table. If there's something out of place with their marriage, for instance. But I don't need to pursue that further. But I'm flagging up, trying to, that it's not a simple, trivial matter to stay away from the Lord's table and hide behind one reason or another. Feel your responsibility in connection with the table. And the answer is not just to get up and go to the table. If you are convinced that you are not one of the Lord's children, then, you see, the matter is to seek the Lord, to seek Him earnestly, to give time to these matters. And may the Lord forgive us for our lack of earnestness in that way and many another way. But you see, to come to the point that I was at when I diverted somewhat. They are debarred from the Lord's table who are content to go on in a course of sin. If you realize that part of your lifestyle is sinful, if you are convinced, if you just know that the way you are behaving, the attitudes that you have, the things that you would do, the things that you would spend time on, if they are sinful, and you are quite content to go on in these ways, you may stop and consider an occasion, but you shrug your shoulders and go on. If that's true of you, you have no place at the Lord's table. And in particular, if you are content to go on without Christ, without believing in Christ, then your place is not at the Lord's table. If it doesn't worry you, then you are still an unbeliever. If it doesn't worry you, that you are not seeking to flee from the wrath to come, that you are not crying out to the Lord, God be merciful to me, a sinner. If you are not, with some degree of consistency, crying out to the Lord for grace, then your place is not at the Lord's table. Yes, you may be saying, I want to be converted, I want to go to heaven. But when are you going to seek the Lord? And one thing is uppermost in your mind, not yet. Not yet. That would make life difficult for me. If I just have no taste for it. That would be difficult. That would make life difficult for me. I don't want to be unhappy. I need various things to give me enjoyment. Sinful things. things that are a waste of time, things that are worldly. The entertainments of this world, for instance, easily accessible and these days, and nobody need know about it but yourself. Yes, but God sees it. And does your conscience recognize it from time to time? But the point just now is, you're not fit for the Lord's table. You see, now is the accepted time as far as salvation is concerned, and you are saying, no, sometime in the future. Oh yes, I will seek the Lord. Yes, I will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But not now. Very dangerous thinking. Very dangerous. But the point just now, the main point just now, there are many points. There are many implications of what I'm saying. But the main one at the moment is you are not to come to the Lord's table. Yes. And then again, where are you seeking for salvation? If you are at all. Or if you are looking into the future to that time when you claim you will seek the Lord. How are you going to seek it? What righteousness are you going to look for? How will you make yourself acceptable to God? Is it what you do yourself? I will seek the Lord. I will please God by doing various things, praying, reading the Word, being more attentive during the service. That sort of thing. It's in yourself. You will please God. Well, if you are looking to yourself and what you might do, then you are not to come to the Lord's table. It's Christ that is to be the foundation of your salvation. You're to be looking to Jesus. We all are. Yes. There's to be in our hearts a submission to the way of salvation. The righteousness of Christ. The way of salvation that God has appointed. And Paul writes of those who have not submitted to the righteousness of God. A submission to God in connection with Christ. If there's not something of that, even a little bit of that, a little bit that we can recognize. But if the main thing is this, what I will do to find Christ, what I am doing to find Christ, yes, we must be doing. There's an absolute duty, there's an absolute responsibility on it. To seek the Lord and to make use of the means of grace without going further just now. But you see, the central matter is this, what Christ has done. That must be the foundation for salvation. Ah, we may have many a difficulty. Yeah. But what is true of us is there even a desire to submit to the righteousness of Christ, to the way of salvation that God has provided. That's one. But if there's not even a desire, then we are not to come to the Lord's table. If we do not value the commandments of God as good, good for us. The Sabbath, for instance, is it something to be endured? There, you have no place at the Lord's table. Oh, we know there's imperfection in the people of God. Let the people of God not go too far. But you see, I'm talking about that general attitude. And when they depart from that general attitude, where do they go? Where do they go with their ungodly feelings? Where do they go with their sinful desire? Is there not a tendency to go to the Lord seeking for His blessing, seeking for more and more of His blessing? But those who do not, for instance, love the Sabbath, who do not want, who have no desire to be thoroughly honest, who have no desire to be pure, even in their thinking, pure and holy in relation to the seventh commandment, for instance, they are not to come to the Lord's table. But they are invited to the Lord's table who wish to flee from sin, who wish to be made pure and holy, who are going to the throne of grace, even sending up a petition in the midst of other things. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and making me pure and holy, in taking away the power of sin, in cleansing my thinking. Yes. Those who do not wish, who want not to go on without Christ, they are to come to the Lord's table. They are to come to the Lord's table. Yes. Granted that there is order to be within congregations, and the Lord has set up that order, and there are office bearers who are ordained with this among their other responsibilities, that they should meet with those who want to go to the Lord's table and admit them or otherwise. You see, if you feel that the truth is speaking to you about your responsibility in connection with the Lord's table, then commit it to the Lord and ask for grace, that on the next occasion you would be enabled to make a profession of your faith. Yes, but for all that, we invite those. This is, you see, a means of helping, a final helping of us all, so that we would know what is our duty, and that those who are already members in full communion with the church would know that they are justified. They in particular would know that they are justified in coming to the Lord's table, in throwing out a few of Scripture's teaching that would be a help to them. You see, if you are seeking grace and you feel perhaps that there is some evidence of that in your desire, that you are at home and seeking to submit to this truth, that it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He saved us. By His mercy. It's the idea of mercy, God's mercy to sinners. Is the idea of mercy precious to you? Are you glad that mercy is so much emphasized in the Word of God, and that these words have been put into your mouth again and again? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Then you are invited to come to the Lord's table, and you are invited to the Lord's table who seek the prosperity of Christ's kingdom. For the sake of God's glory in this world, for the good of souls, that the Lord would appear, that the Lord would not be hiding Himself, but that He would appear in our generation. I don't mean physically. That's at the very end of the world that Christ will come again. But that He would appear spiritually. That He would appear in in the meetings of God's people, that he would appear when a word is spoken in season to those who are still in Satan's kingdom, that he would come by the Holy Spirit and apply the truth. And perhaps I can repeat too, of course it's scripture, and therefore I don't need to hesitate, but the evidence that John gives, that we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. Those who love the brethren as the children of God, as those who have some evidence, or appear to us some evidence of grace in their hearts, that working itself out in their lives is walking in the paths of new obedience, well, they are invited to the Lord's table. But let us read the passages that are usually read on such an occasion as this. First of all, in the Epistle to the Galatians, in chapter 5, and at verse 19. Galatians chapter 5 and at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And again, in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, reading from verse 3. Matthew 5, at verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us sing now in Psalm 116, at verse 1. And while a few verses are sung, the elders of the congregation will bring forward the symbols of the Saviour's broken body and shed blood and place them on the table. Verse 1 in Psalm 116. I love the Lord because my voice and prayers he did hear. I, while I live, will call on him who bowed to me his ear. Of death the cords and sorrows did about me compass round. The pains of hell took hold on me, a grief and trouble found. Upon the name of God the Lord then did I call and say, deliver thou my soul, O Lord. I do thee humbly pray. Sing from the beginning until the elements are on the table. I love the Lord because my voice and prayers he did hear.
I love